Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right. Ferrell on the bench with Carver High, 844, toll free, 843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. So the Pelicans blew out the Clippers tonight by 17. The T-Wolves upset the Jazz by one. Raptors blew out the Cavs. I did want to say one thing about that game, the Cavaliers game, right? So I don't know if you saw them lose tonight in Tampa, but did you see Kevin Love? Did you see what he did?
I did not.
Oh, my God. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I honestly have never my guess is that he's got to have something wrong with him or something. Like, I don't even know what the hell to say other than so they were down four and something happened. They gave up an easy layup and the ball got kicked over toward the sideline. And then the ref threw the ball to Love, who was inbounding. And when he threw it to him, he just bounced past it to him. No big deal. He didn't throw it at him or didn't throw it hard or anything. He just threw him the ball to bring it in. And Love took his hand and slapped the ball inbounds and just slapped it away and started walking away. And the ball went right to the other team, Toronto, and they got another basket. Like, he just said, I don't want it. You take it. And he slapped the ball away. And it was almost like the guy had lost his mind and quit. It was like he quit. He just quit on his team and said, enough of this. I'm out of here. Now, remember, he did it before. Do you remember when he had the meltdown and he quit on his teammate and walked off the floor? He did it again. He did it again, and this time he took the ball and just slapped it into play and said, here, you take the effing thing. I don't want it. And then they're like, oh, all right. Boom, dunk. That was it. And it was embarrassing. And it to me, like I heard the announcers on NBA TV say they had the Brinks truck backing up to the facility to pack his bags, like for the season's over. Season's over for the Cavs. Just pack it in. They had the, you know, backup truck. They had the truck backing up. And I thought it was really, I'm just going to say it. It was one of the most unprofessional things I think I've seen. He just quit. He just said, I don't want it here. You take it. I quit. I'm done. And he walked off the floor and he quit again on his team. And I'm just done with this guy. What?
I'm watching it now. I had to go look at it. See it.
Well, tell me what you see. I mean, you can't even believe this stuff.
No, you flat out quit.
If I'm the owner of the team, if I'm the coach of the team, I'm not putting him in the game ever again. I don't care who he is. You're done playing with us. You're done. You're a quitter. You got mental issues. And people say, oh, mental health. I'll tell you what. You want to see mental health? It's on full display tonight with the Cavaliers, Kevin Love. If he's got mental health issues, he showed it to all of us tonight. And I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying He had a meltdown. I mean, tell me what I just saw, Carver Hyde. Tell me I'm tripping.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very bizarre situation. The ref kind of just tosses him the ball, and he just slaps it with his hand, and then he starts walking to the other end. Like, he's not even walking off, kind of walking off the floor, walking to the other end, whatever he's doing.
He quit.
Very bizarre.
He quit. Like, he's obviously so miserable playing with that team. Here's a news flash for you, Kevin. Your game is so over and done with and fried like a beef brisket that's been in the oven for 24 hours. That's how he's a beef brisket. It's just been cooking for 24 hours. His career is so over. It's not even funny. You know what he should do? Take a look at himself quitting on his teammates again tonight for the second time and just quit playing NBA basketball because his career's over. He's got no game left. He's never healthy. And then when he plays, he's got these mental issues. Like, what's that about? I don't know. I don't even, who has time for it? Go get a shrink and get happy. Find happiness in life. Quit playing. You've already made $200 million. Quit. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map and Sports Byline Radio Networks, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the Bench on a Monday night. I mean, honestly, like, you know what? That guy quit on his team again tonight, right in front of our very eyes. And I'm sitting there watching this guy slap the ball into play for the other team to steal it and just get a dunk. Like, it's like, what are you doing, bro? It was a 4-point game. What are you doing? He absolutely had a mental meltdown. That's all there is to it. He quit on his team again. This is the second time he's done it. Like, if I am the coach and owner, I'm like, what is this guy doing? I don't care who he is. Like, you know, he gets away with it because he's Kevin Love and he's got a name and he's got a career and he's got titles and he's got, you know, a reputation and he's got, you know, juice. But his game is so shot and broke ass anyway. When is the last time Kevin Love did anything in an NBA game? Carver, I tell me when, because it's never. It's his career's over. And what he needs to do is pack it in. I agree. And they said just pack up the season. Season's over. Well, we already know that. But what I'm saying is his career is over. Like, all this talk of where should Kevin Love go play next? How about nowhere? He's shot, bro. Done. Kaput. Go watch him have another meltdown today in an NBA game and tell me there's something not wrong with him. I mean, I'm not having it. Like, can you imagine? Like, if I'm the coach, I'm like, what are you doing? Sit your ass down. I don't care how much money you make. Sit down. Costing us the game, giving the other team the ball just for fun. You idiot. I mean, I couldn't even believe what I saw. All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Carver High. The Spurs beat the Wizards in overtime, 146-143 in D.C., ending their 8-game winning streak. I was really surprised. They had that game won, too. The Wizards were up late and blew it. They were up even 3 with like 5 seconds left, and they gave up a 3. DeRozan had a huge night. He had 37. And they beat him in overtime, the Spurs. You got to give them credit. That was a, you know, the Wizards had that game. I think that number was 3 in that game, wasn't it? Or was it 2.5? Remember today on Coast to Coast?
Yeah, it was 3 when we were doing the show this afternoon.
All right. Well, at least I pushed. Sixers, I think that's what maybe Jay Berman was talking about, the push. Maybe I'm wrong. Sixers, 121-90 over the Thunder. They blow out the lowly Thunder. The Pistons beat the Hawks 186. Now, that I didn't see coming. I mean, I've won a lot of money with the Pistons over the last month. You know that, right? But I didn't see them winning that game.
Pistons have been real good to us, but this was a surprise. I mean, to just whack the Hawks, especially after the Hawks played really well over the weekend. Just,
how about the Bulls winning Miami by 8? I didn't see that coming either. I got burned on both of those games. I mean, I hit the Suns. I hit the Lakers. Now I have the Nuggets winning. They're going to win. They're up 107-86 on the Grizzlies with 4 minutes left. And then at the half right now, the Kings lead the Mavericks by 7, and they're winning without De'Aaron Fox. It's amazing to me. I watch the Kings, and they have all this talent, all this young talent, and yet at the same time, they're 12 games under 500, and they absolutely suck. And I just have to say, like, it is amazing to me with, like, Barnes, Harkless, Holmes, Halliburton, Heald, Guy, Wright. They got some players, young talent, nothing spectacular. I'm not tripping, but they have some young talent, and certainly De'Aaron Fox is no joke. And then yet they're still 12 games under 500. They suck. Like, you have all this talent and you still suck. That's got to just be torture to play on a team that has that much young talent and they still lose. Like, that's all they do is lose. And then, you know, just keeping an eye on that game because they were up big early in the game. Remember, it was like 31-16 or something. But the Mavericks came all the way back. Doncic has 11, and your boy Marijanovic with 10. Trey Burke has 15. We'll see how the second half goes. I did want to mention one other thing before I'm done with the NBA, Carver High, and that's what, you know, Mitch was talking about. Like, listen, Mitch and I have been doing the show together forever. He's always come on my show. Whether we argue or not is irrelevant. We've argued 5 million times on the air, and you know that's true, Carver High. But here's the deal. I just absolutely, you know, all this talk about it's okay as long as, you know, once LeBron and Davis are back, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. They should not even play the playoffs. They should cancel the playoffs. Because, you know, the players are complaining so much about having to play so much basketball. You know, like Chris Paul plays every single night and never complains. D-Book plays every single night and never complains. They play the Nets yesterday. They play the Knicks today and they didn't complain. But, you know, when the Sixers play, they complain every single night with the schedule that they have to play. And all you hear about is the teams in the East crying about all the games they have to play. Well, everybody plays the same amount of games. And then they take off guys in the East, just everywhere, East and West, take vacations. I call them vacations because they never play. You know, the star players in the NBA never play. They're always injured with some fake injury. And you know it's true. I mean, I bet you 80% of the injuries are completely fake and bogus. There's not even an injury. They're just taking the night off. It's a nice way of saying, all right, tonight you have a back spasm, so you can have the night off because you just played too much. And it is the most unbelievably unforgiving bunch of pee I've ever seen in my life. What a bunch of peas they are. Like, back in the day, and you know it's true, like guys like Olajuwon, and I mean, I could go on and on. I could literally go on and on. I mean, can you imagine telling Moses Malone and Dr. J that they needed to take every other night off because they just played too much basketball? Or Michael Jordan, honestly, Scottie Pippen. You know, just you need more time off. Just you play once a week. We have four games. You play one. We'll play three. You rest as much as possible. Drive around in your Porsche. And you know, have your side piece beside your wife, and then have one in every city. So you got like 20 or 30 side pieces and your wife. And then as long as you're happy, like, can you believe this stuff? You can't even make this stuff up. That nowadays, that's exactly what's going on. These guys never play. All they do is cry and complain and moan and groan about the schedules. But then I hear him tell me that, as long as Davis and LeBron are fine, it's a done deal. It's all irrelevant. There's no other team that has a prayer. Okay, so he told me that CP3 was the MVP and that the Suns are the number one team in the West, but they have no chance. No chance at all. None. Zero. They have no chance. Utah sucks because they lost last year. But Philadelphia loses every single year, but that doesn't count. That doesn't count that they lost last year, because he said that they lost because they were in the bubble. Did he not say that to me, Carver High?
Yeah, I think that there was a couple of teams that, and there's part of this that I kind of agree with, but in the Philadelphia-Boston sense, I don't. I think there was some bubble help for a few teams last year where they didn't have to play really tough road games, but
okay.
Boston beats Philly's ass every time they play him.
Okay, so did they not all play in the same building? They all played in the same court. There was no – what advantage was there to anyone?
No, I think that when he talks about that, and it's something that I kind of thought about too, which I just think that some of the spots where teams won, would they have won in a normal circumstance? That's all. Like, if if Denver had to play those game sevens in Utah or in Staples against the Clippers, would they have won them? You know, would the Heat have beat Boston in Boston, or beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee? You know, those are just, you know, the bubble had such a different aspect to it because
theoretically, it would make sense that, in my opinion, that the bubble made it pure basketball. Then there was no fans involved, correct, no home court involved, no road involved. This was strictly basketball involved competition of seven game series.
Agreed.
This is strictly pure, pure basketball.
Agreed.
Right? Okay. So now you're going to tell me that they're going to be better this year because last year it didn't count because they played in this bubble. Well, then what's to say they're not going to lose on the road this year because they're going to have to go on the road, or they're going to have to play at home or on the road or wherever. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter where you play, in my opinion. Last year, they played the games, and you either won or you lost, and they lost as usual, per usual. The Bucks lose every year. The Sixers lose every year. And he basically told me that the Celtics suck and the Heat suck, and that two young guys got lucky because they got hot. Well, what team in basketball doesn't win when two guys get hot, whether they're young or old? What team doesn't win when someone gets hot and is unstoppable and they light it up and score 30, 40 points a night? What team? It doesn't matter if it's Butler. He said the Heat won because Jimmy Butler was scoring, was unstoppable. And because they had a couple of young guys, Robinson and Hero Sandwich, that made all the shots, right? So, and Crowder and whatever else. The Heat won because they played great basketball. And the Celtics won because they beat the Sixers again, like they always do in the playoffs. But they suck? Well, I think they're average too, but they still won, didn't they? Weren't they playing in all the big games at the end of the year last year? Weren't they the ones in the big games? They were. All right, so, but now all of a sudden, the Nets suck, even though their second unit backup hack team still goes out every night and kicks everyone's ass, including the Suns yesterday. Am I tripping? I mean, I don't know, maybe I play too much basketball. Maybe that's what it is. So the team that is in first in the East, they suck. Even their backup sucks. Shut up. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. I think that I was just talking to Carver High about it in the break, that I think these teams are actually going to devour each other in the playoffs. I think the East and West is going to be crazy. I think they're both going to be crazy. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for anybody. I'm sure the Lakers will be one of the last teams standing. It's a battle for the other spot. And then I think in the East, anything's possible. It's totally up for grabs. I think the Nets should be one of the teams. They should be. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. They should be there, but you never know. They could be beat. I mean, you never know. And then everyone thinks Philadelphia is going. And meanwhile, I'm just saying. I mean, it's not my fault. It's not my – I got nothing to do with it, and I got nothing at all, no chips in the game. But all I know is that they always lose. I mean, they just always find a way to lose. That's just all there is to it. And they all stand around with this look on their face like they got their dog got run over by a car. Every year it's the same thing. Embiid looking like someone stole his dog, and the other guys on the team looking like someone ran over their dog, right? Like, do they not have that lost puppy look? I mean, every year they're like, what just happened? And it's always the same story. And meanwhile, the Bucks, I think they're way better with Holiday than Bledsoe. And I think they've totally, completely thrown games this season. They just don't even care about winning. I don't even think they're trying to win. I think they're just out there trying to work on some things and, like, get through, you know, working in half-court sets and working in a half-court playoff mode in, you know, where it's a tug-of-war at each end the whole game. None of this transition running up and down and alley-oop dunking. That doesn't happen in the playoffs. It's a war. It's a heavyweight fight in the playoffs, right? And then you've got all these other teams, you know, the Bucks and the Sixers, and you can talk about whoever, the Celtics, the Heat. You have all these teams, right, that everybody's always clamoring about. And the reality is, when you look at it, Carver High, seriously, like, in the East, Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, not, you know, Boston is one of them, Miami. And then you got New York and Atlanta, 4-5. No one respects either one of them. The Knicks won 9 in a row and people still don't respect them. That's just all there is to it. You know, it took winning 8 in a row before ESPN took notice of the Knicks. Then they started talking about the Knicks. When they won 8 in a row, then they finally started talking about the big story in New York, the Knicks. Meanwhile, the Nets have 41 wins to the Knicks 34. So they give all the attention to the Knicks, and the Nets get nothing. And that's stunning when you think about it. And then, you know, you got the Miami, Charlotte, Indy, Washington play-in games. You know as well as I do, anything's possible with that Wizards team. They can Beal and Westbrook go off. They can beat anybody. And then in the West, you got Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Denver, Lakers. Dallas is in the sixth. Then Portland against Memphis, San Antonio against Golden State in the play-in games. I really don't believe any of those teams can do any damage. There's something wrong with the Blazers, and there's something wrong with Dame. He hasn't been himself. Certainly lately, he's been in a slump. But the guy I'd worry about is Curry. Curry is so hot and is hitting the long ball so well that I think the Warriors can knock somebody off. I mean, they can knock somebody off. You got one guy scoring 40, 50 points a night. Anything's possible. Anything at all is possible. But according to our argument tonight, it was all about the Lakers, that it's a done deal, that they're going to win it all. Done deal. Everything else is mute. There's no reason to play the games. Just give them the ring and the gold trophy now. Just give it to him now, because as long as LeBron's playing, it's a done deal. It's over, given, finished, kaput, put a fork in it. No one else has a chance. That's basically what I heard tonight. That's what I heard tonight. And I think that's BS. I mean, I really do. So we know that they have sucked basically, in essence, since Davis and LeBron went down, and more so LeBron. I thought they played fine without Davis, with LeBron playing. When he went down, they were in big trouble. And now he's coming back, I think, next week at the very latest. He might even come back later this weekend. You know what I mean? Later this week. We'll see. We'll see if he comes back this week. Maybe next week. Next week would be 6 weeks he was out. But we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's going to be easy. And look, it sounded to me like Mitch was saying that the Lakers will mow through the Nets. Just mow right through them. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
They have no. Did he not say that?
Kind of. But I'm kind of.
Is that like almost? And is that like almost or close?
Yeah.
It was close.
Here's the,
close
here's the problem.
Here's almost
the problem.
Pregnant.
Here's the problem with anybody right now. This goes for Mitch. This goes for us. This goes for anybody. Here's the problem with anybody trying to size up the Lakers and the Nets. There is so much distance to go before we get to that matchup, that we don't know who's going to be there. It's like you said to him, can you guarantee me that Durant, Harden, and Kyrie are all going to be playing? Can you guarantee me that LeBron and AD are all going to be playing?
No.
Like, there's just too many unknown variables. Like, if you're telling me that tomorrow everybody is healthy and the Nets are playing the Lakers, everybody is available, and they're going to play 7 games, nobody's rolling over anybody. I think that that's the kind of series that's maybe going to go the distance. I think that there's a lot of stars on the floor. I think it'll go back and forth. 2 months from now, when we actually get to the NBA Finals, who's still playing? Because there's too many guys who just don't play. That's the thing. That's the problem with all this.
Do you think that the beyond Davis and LeBron, and now you're talking about Drummond and the bench and the rest of their players, or are you looking at Sans, Durant, Harden, let's say it was Kyrie, Harris, Brown, Claxton, Jordan, Blake Griffin, Shamet, and Tyler Johnson. You're going to tell me that you think that bunch in LA, beyond like, let's say Drummond, fair enough. So let's say I was to put, like, Drummond is a big monster, right? Fair enough. And then I'll put, I mean, I have no other choice but to put, like, Claxton or Griffin in that against him, right? So beyond those two, let's say take them out of it or leave them in it. I don't even care, because I don't think Drummond's that good. I really don't. So I think he's a fat ass, and he's slow and he can't run. So I'll tell you what. And Blake Griffin, they say, is broken down and shot. He's looked great with the Nets. That's all there is to it. And Claxton is young and athletic and blocks shots and runs up and down and dunks. And DeAndre Jordan is his. I mean, with Irving and Harden and Durant, that guy's become a dunk machine and an absolute monster in the block, blocking shots, getting rebounds, and finishing and doing whatever. So you're telling me that that hack bunch in L.A. is better than this bench, better than the Nets?
No,
I think the Nets are better than the Lakers.
I think the Nets' secondary pieces don't get the recognition because their stars are so enormous.
Their stars
are so enormous that their secondary pieces don't get the correct recognition. Now, I think that here's the question for the Lakers. Is their secondary pieces, which they have changed out from last year. Last year it was Rondo, Dwight Howard. That was their secondary pieces when they won the title last year.
You're right. Now it's Schroeder.
Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, and Drummond are now their secondary pieces. I feel like on the surface, you know, you just look at those names and age and et cetera. It seems like the Lakers' secondary pieces are better this year than when they won last year. But we know that the Rondo fact, might not look great in the box score, but you know what Rondo brings to you, you know, intangible wise, and they don't have that this year.
He's better than Schroeder.
Right. But at the end of the day, we know it comes down to LeBron, not even AD. It's LeBron. That's what it comes down
to. But my LeBron point is this.
Yeah, I got you.
But my point is this. It was like he said that that nobody has a chance and I said, oh, so they got to number one in the East because they weren't in number one in the East when they made those moves. OK, they were not number one in the East when they made the move to get Harden. Right. And then Harden's. He played a month and a half, and then he got injured, and now he's going to miss 2 months, right? So my point being is that he played. He was phenomenal. He made everybody around him better. I thought he was the MVP. Then he got injured. He's out. So then you just play with Irving and all the hacks, and the hacks are the ones that took him past Philadelphia into first in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. Every night they just kept winning, and they kept beating everyone in their path. With Shamet and this bunch of ragtag Harris, and I go on and on, Claxton, Jordan, Green. Jeff Green gets no attention whatsoever. No one ever mentions Jeff Green's name as he's scoring 15 a night. I mean, and Blake Griffin, same thing, 12 to 15 a night automatic, getting rebounds, blocking shots, dunks, the whole deal, defending, bodying up on people. I'm telling you, they passed Philadelphia. The hacks are the ones that got them to number one in the East.
The Sixers aren't winning anything. The Sixers aren't winning anything.
Everybody thinks they are. Everybody thinks that Philadelphia is the team to beat. They're the team to beat.
Good luck with those tickets. They're not beating anybody. Okay. We know what happens when you put the money on the table with those guys. They've already shown it.
How many times in the last 3 weeks have we talked on this show about somebody trying to sell me their BS about the Sixers are the best team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess do they feel, you know, the coaching is that big of a difference? I mean, obviously it's a big upgrade having Doc now, but is that really enough to actually push them past the second round? I mean, because they never get there.
He ain't playing.
They never get past it.
And neither is Steve Nash. He's not playing either. You know, all these coaches get way too much credit. Thanks. I'm talking about guys that are in there banging and playing. This is violence at the highest order. This is the playoffs in the highest order. You're going to play ball. It's a grown man game now. The coach, what are you going to hold my effing hand? So this Saturday night, May 1st, in Carson, California, you got former heavyweight champ Andy Ruiz Jr. taking on Chris Arreola in an all-action heavyweight Mexican extravaganza. Andy Ruiz Jr., remember when he beat Anthony Joshua for the heavyweight championship of the world? Just shocked the world, stunned everybody, stunned Joshua, knocked him out. People went crazy. It was a huge upset. And at the time, he looked like he weighed about 300 pounds when he did it. I have no idea. He just kept throwing hands and just landing shots and knocked Joshua on his ass. Now he's back. And I have to say, he's just looks fabulous. He's trained. He's lost tons of weight. He looks just absolutely ready to rock and roll. And he's taking on Chris Areola, LA's finest, in the main event on the Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view this Saturday night from Carson, California, at the Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California, where the Chargers played. And they've had all kinds of names there and boxing events there, you name it. You got a great undercard, Omar Figueroa against Abel Ramos. Sebastian Fundora taking on Jorge Cota in co-featured events, plus rising star Jesus Ramos taking on Javier Molina. Tickets went on sale on Friday, so there are tickets available. There's going to be a crowd there. That's cool. It starts at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on pay-per-view. Call your cable operator and order the fight today. Ruiz and Areola, Saturday night, May 1st, this Saturday night. All right, so I cannot believe Carver High. My whole night went down the drain when the Yankees lost to the Orioles at Camden. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Honestly, like, Matt, the Dark Knight Harvey, throws 6 innings of one earned run baseball with 5 strikeouts. It was like the game of his life compared to how bad he's been the last few years. He was basically had 1 foot out of baseball completely. He was finished, and somehow he got a job and he's on the Orioles staff. And now he's out there throwing, I think, back to back good games. Now he's actually been decent. His ERA is around 4.2 or something like that. All I know is, I mean, his ERA last year, the year before, was in the 6s and 7s. It was so bad. It was pathetic. I mean, he was finished. Can you even believe that the Yankees win 3 of 4 in Cleveland and then go to that hellhole, Camden? I mean, it really is for baseball. The Orioles are god awful. They smell. They're so bad. And the Yankees always slap them around, and they got their ass beat tonight by Matt Harvey. How embarrassing.
It really was another gutless effort tonight, to be fair. And you look at that Matt Harvey line. If you didn't watch the game, you know, you're just going to look at it and you're going to go, oh, wow, you know, Harvey pitched pretty good. No, honestly, I mean, I don't want to take credit away from the guy. I know it's going to sound like I am. The Yankees were just, you know, lifeless at bats. I mean, they didn't even push the guy at all. Not working counts, swinging at, you know, junk. It was just a really bad effort. And then they tease you in the 8th inning, where they get the bases loaded, they're down 4-1. Urshela hits a ball in the corner, 1 run scores. There's a 2nd run coming around, and Judge, for whatever reason, I don't know what he was doing, decides to try to go to 3rd, and he gets tagged out before that 2nd run crosses the plate. Boone gets thrown out of the game. I don't know where Judge was going. I mean, why did he have to go from 2nd to 3rd? There was 2 outs. He's going to score on a hit anyway.
It was his birthday. I mean, maybe he wanted to go.
Well, he's greedy. Greedy SOB.
Maybe he wanted to go in the clubhouse and get a beer. I mean, it's his birthday.
Well, he went to go get one then because he got thrown out at 3rd. And Yankees lose to the Orioles, who's a team that they usually like to bully on. We know that the Yankees are a bully team. They beat up on the bad teams. And they probably will the next 2 days, but Matt Harvey gets his 2nd win of the season and first wins in 2 years that he had. He hadn't had a win in 2 years before the last start.
I don't believe that the next 2 days are a given of anything. Listen,
oh, no, hitting one, definitely not.
Frazier's hitting 143.
Yeah, but it's okay. He took some walks tonight, Scotty. He's coming around. He took some walks tonight, Booney. He's, you know, he's seeing the ball well in the box. He got some walks tonight. Don't worry.
Hicks is hitting 162. Torres, 208. Urshela, 264. I suppose he's like a rock star. He's got the best average on the team.
Yankees Odor, have the worst batting average in the American League. Last. The Yankees. That lineup.
Judge, 250. Stanton, 192. And LeMahieu, 250. They gave LeMahieu, what, $90 million? And now he can't hit either.
Yeah.
Notice that? He was like the MVP, and now he can't hit anything. He's literally seeing BBs when he's at the plate.
Embarrassing.
I mean, how could you have any faith at all that the next 2 days is going to go better? I mean, they can't beat the Orioles. They're in last place. They're the worst team in the American League, and they cannot beat the Orioles. That's all you need to know. I mean, They absolutely suck on plums, giant plums. My giant plums. Honestly, I can't even take it. I can't even deal with it. I'm done. I can't even deal with it. I'm going to have a heart attack. I watch the games and I want to jump through the TV monitor and I want to take Aaron Boone's face and smack it off a cement wall. And everybody else in that stupid ass lineup too. The Reds lead the Dodgers right now in the fifth, 2-1, top of the fifth. They got runners on first and second and one out. The Reds trying to beat the Dodgers. How about the Dodgers imploding all weekend against the Padres, and now they can't beat the Reds. I've seen it all. The Giants 12-0 on the Rockies. They're really struggling tonight in the city by the bay. Royals beat the Tigers 3-2. Indians 5-3 and 10 over the Twins. The Twins season is over. It's already over. They've lost 12 of 14. Their season's like, it's in a glad bag already. Braves 8-7 over the Cubs. A's 2-1 over the Rays. At least I got that game right, my top play. The Marlins shut out the Brewers 8-0. How about, wasn't that our guy? You were talking about him today, that he was pitching so great for the Brewers. Who were you talking about today?
Corbin Burns.
Yeah, Corbin Burns got absolutely lit up. Tonight.
Not a good night for him, losing to the Marlins.
Lit up like a 5-foot graphic bong. Philadelphia, 2-1 over the Cardinals. Angels and Ohtani, 9-4 over the Rangers. Now, I don't know. I know Ohtani wins for the Angels. He pitched. He struck out 9, had another shaky first inning. Also scored 3 runs, Ohtani, and drove in 2. I mean, this guy is an absolute freak. He's driving in runs. He doubled to right. Fletcher and Iglesias scored, so he had a big double. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And it is interesting that Madden is using him in a much different way than when he first came to the team. When Ohtani first came here, if you remember, like on the days that he pitched, he did not hit. You know, and he didn't hit the day before or after he pitched. Like, they had all these rules for Ohtani. Like, he had a day off before he pitched, and then he was only in the lineup like 2 or 3 times a week. Now, like, Madden's like, yeah, I don't really care. This dude's going to hit every day. He's even going to hit when he pitches. Like, I don't give a rat's, you know, whatever. What do I care? I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win. This dude's going to play. I don't care. So I like that. Good job by Madden.
The Astros beat the Mariners 5-2. So just so you know, just so we're clear here, Boston leads the AL East by 3 games. Kansas City by 2 over the White Sox in the Central. By the way, Boston's leads 3 over Tampa and Toronto. Baltimore's 3.5 back. The Yankees are in last, 4.5 out. Kansas City's lead is 2 over the White Sox. Oakland's lead is 2 over Seattle, 3 over the Angels. Angels are a game over 500. Mets lead by a half game over Philly. They haven't played as many games either. And then Miami's 1.5 back with Atlanta, and the Nats are 2 back. Central, Milwaukee by 2 over St. Louis and Pittsburgh. The Pirates are tied with the Cardinals at 11-11. That's unbelievable. And the Dodgers lead is 1 game over San Francisco in the West. Can you imagine if, like, the Giants are rolling right now, and they've won 6 of 10 tonight, 12-0. Bottom line is, can you imagine if they take over first place in the West from the Dodgers? Yeah. I will have seen it all, honestly.
Well,
the Padres are 3 back.
I think the most interesting thing so far, when you look at baseball, and it is still extremely early, it's the first month, but Kansas City, 14-7. Seattle, 13-10. The Pirates, 11-11. The Giants, 14-8. You know, you've got some teams that you did not expect to be very good that are playing really good baseball so far.
Yeah, and all the crappy teams.
Yeah, and there's a couple of teams that have made the playoffs the last few years that are off to awful starts, whether it be the Yankees, the Twins, the Braves. They have not played well. Cincinnati made the playoffs last year. They have been awful at the start. It's going to be interesting now in May, because Memorial Day is, like, you know, that old cliche with baseball, you know, you can't really look at the standings till Memorial Day. It's coming around the corner. It's a month away. So these teams that have started bad, let's see if they can now get back to where they normally are by Memorial Day. And let's see if these teams that have been great who are usually awful, continue to stay at that level for the next month.
So Sacramento leads the Mavericks by 2 points with 8 minutes left. I brought this up to you off air. I'm going to bring it up on now. You know, Sacramento's 12 games under 500. They suck. All they do is lose. They're terrible. And I know tonight's not a gauge because De'Aaron Fox isn't in there, but it really is. I mean, who cares if he's not there? He's not playing. They still suck. They blew a 20-point lead. My question is, do they fire Luke Walton? Because I think it's time to. I mean, all he's done is lose in Sacramento. All he did was lose in L.A. He won in Golden State when Kerr had a great team. And he had a back surgery, and he won all those games and got all that credit. And then they made him a head coach instantaneously and made him famous. But the reality is, since he's been a head coach, he's sucked. He's terrible. That's all there is to it. And I said to you that I think he's going to become like a radio analyst. He's not going to coach in the NBA. I think, like, what more do you need to know? Everywhere it keeps getting worse. Like, he's not good at coaching. I mean, this is just obvious now. And they have your boy Alvin Gentry sitting on the sideline as an assistant. I guarantee it'd be just like Nate McMillan. They'd win if he was the coach. If Gentry were the coach, they'd win. And with Luke Walton, all they do is lose. Luke Walton. I mean, they're so terrible. They have all this young talent. All they do is lose. Would you fire him? Because I'm firing him. If I'm the owner of Renadiv, I fire him.
I do not think that he'll be back next year. I think that this is the end of the line for Luke Walton, and I don't think he's going to – he's gotten a couple cracks now since he filled in for Kerr in Golden State, and it hasn't gone well for him anywhere. So he's either going to have to go do TV or be an assistant again. He ain't getting another head coaching job, if ever.
Were you offended today when I said that look, I'm sick and tired of this 49ers nonsense of watching this game they're playing with everybody every day where they're just like not telling anybody. We know they're never going to tell anybody what they're doing. They're not leaking who they're picking. And all the stories about they've narrowed it down to two guys is a bunch of BS as well. But then I said, like, I thought he was overrated as a player too, and they put him right in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they put him right in the Hall of Fame. We'll see what Carver Hyde thinks of that when we come back. Carver Hyde just told me he's a huge Kim Mulkey fan. Anyway, what was I saying before? Do you think Lynch should have been a Hall of Famer?
No, I don't. As we always discuss, I'm an extremely rough grader when it comes to Hall of Fames in every sport. I believe that they've, you know, destroyed all of them. They're all halls of very good now. They've let way too many people in. This is baseball. This is hockey. This is football. They've let way too many people in that probably shouldn't be. It took him 8 times. He was a finalist 8 times, Lynch, before they finally let him in. So it's a Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think he should have been in, but what do I know? I don't know anything. All I know is I don't care who he drafts. Just so everyone knows, in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, Northern California, Niner fans everywhere, I don't care who you draft at all. Like, zero. I don't care if you draft Jesus. I mean it. Like, honestly, like, this whole act of, like, hiding this draft pick, like, I don't even care. I don't even care. I don't even care about the ones that we know that are like Trevor Lawrence and Zach. I don't even care about them either. I don't care who they draft. They act like these kids coming into the NFL are going to save the day. It's so funny to me. The NFL is about pain day, son. Those kids will be running for their lives. The Kings lead the Ducks 2-1 in the third early. Sharks up 4-2 in the Coyotes in the second, 4 minutes left. The Sharks, what do they win, about one game every 3 months? Canadians beat the Flames tonight 2-1. Senators 2-1 over the Canucks. Blues upset the Avs 4-1. I can't even believe they're losing to the Blues. What is that, back-to-back? Stars in overtime beat the Canes 4-3. Predators 4-1 over the Panthers. And the Oilers beat the crap out of the Jets 6-1 in Pirelli Bank. I'm stunned about that, Carver High.
I am as well. These two teams could play in the first round. I like Winnipeg. I've talked them up as the best team in the North. I did not like what I saw tonight.
Bruins play at the Penguins tomorrow. Islanders play at the Capitals tomorrow. Those should be really good games. How about Lightning Blackhawks in Chicago? All right, I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good job, Carver High. Good night.